began, was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. She was an actress. But not Bollywood. And not Hollywood. But she was an actress in Australia. And then, on the first day, she visited the temple in Los Angeles on her way to from Australia to London for the world opening of her latest movie. This was in 1970, so many years ago. She visited the temple and Srila Prabhupada was there. And then the devotees said, why don't we go on Sankirtan, which meant chanting Hare Krishna in the street. And Mataji went on Sankirtan and chanted Hare Krishna in the street with so many devotees. And she never left the temple. And her luggage is still waiting for her at Heathrow Airport. And at that time, I was in Japan. Srila Prabhupada personally asked me to go to Japan and help with the preaching in 1969. And somehow or another, and Srila Prabhupada later said that he arranged our marriage, but she was sent to, from Los Angeles to Hong Kong, and we met in Hong Kong. But before that happened, and our marriage was arranged. Now raise your hand if your marriage was arranged. Raise your hand if your marriage was arranged and you've been married for more than 40 years. Okay. Yes, it is. There. Okay. But one time when I was in Los Angeles, which is of a different mood than in India, one devotee who I was walking with said, how long have you been married? So at that time, I said, 25 years. And they said, oh, that's nice. To the same person? It's actually a true story. But in any case, while Mataji was before, well, our marriage was arranged, but before she left Los Angeles, some newspaper reporters from Australia found out that she was living in the Los Angeles temple. So they came and interviewed her. And after some time, I was living in Japan at that time and she was in Los Angeles, but our marriage was arranged. And then after some time, should I tell this? Were you... Yeah, I have to finish it. After one, so she told, after the, she was a nice man, the reporter, but she told the reporter, please present things nicely. Don't quote everything improperly. And the reporter agreed, yes. And the article came out in Australia. And it was actually a reasonable article. Yes. But then, one day, her mother was walking down the road, and she saw the way they advertised newspapers in Australia in those days. They would take the headlines of a type of a newspaper, and they would just put the headlines and advertise with that. So one day, her mother was walking down the street in Australia and she sees the headline, Weird Sect Forces Famous Movie Actress to Marry Japanese Monk. And then her mother is walking down the street and she sees the newspaper article and she says, oh, that looks interesting. And she looks inside and it's her daughter. Later on, her mother and father were very pious. They met Srila Prabhupada. And every time Srila Prabhupada would see Jagatrini Mataji, he would always ask after that time, how is your mother? How is your father? And they both ended up chanting japa on beats and very special souls, the whole family. You asked me to introduce her. Jagatrini Mataji, who's very tired too, because we just came back from Kenya just a few days ago, and there were some classes. Would you like to say anything? Not to introduce me, though. And also, the stories that she would tell are not as funny as the ones, and exciting as the ones I told about her. So, now what else? I've introduced her, I've followed your...
Yeah, you sort of introduced yourself without the...
Japanese monk.
...biographical details, but I think everyone already feels very close to you.
Mm.
Now you can do with us whatever you like.
Well, because it's Ekadasi, raise your hand if you're following Ekadasi Vrata today. Yes, okay. So, Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, what I would like to do is chant some japa with everyone. And then, as we're chanting, what is your name? Priyanka? Oh. Is that already prasadam?
This is from Radharani Sankalpa.
Wow.
This one is from Sankalpa.
Two.
The next day we
go. Manisita.
Wow.
Radharani.
Wow, thank you.
Very kind. Now, one of the... Of course, there are different levels of chanting japa. And the best level, of course, Evam Vrata Supriya Nama Kirtya, is, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that this verse was the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Which explains that a devotee, while chanting Krishna's names, experiences the presence of Krishna. Experiences the presence of Krishna. And Loka Bhaya doesn't care at all for outsiders. And he laughs, experiencing Krishna's presence. He cries, experiencing the absence of Krishna, he falls to the ground, he dances. This was actually the mood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited as he chanted Krishna's names. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the perfect behavior, the exemplary behavior for one aspiring to elevate himself to the highest consciousness. Everything that Mahaprabhu did, we can emulate. Of course, we can't imitate, but we can emulate. So that is the perfection of chanting, to experience the presence of Krishna. But when I chant so many times, most of the time, I experience simply the presence of my own mind. So, whether we chant, whether we are just beginning chanters or the most expert of chanters, chanting on the platform of Shudanam, of pure loving, Premanam, pure loving devotional service, we still should chant Krishna's names. And we should chant as best we can, on the highest level we are able to. So the first principle that is to chant Krishna's names. And a second principle in regard to that is when it's time to chant japa, we have to make a determination, a sankalpa, and that is, while I'm chanting, at this particular time, no matter how busy my life is, when I'm chanting my japa, at this particular time, I have nothing else to do. We have to make that decision. I have nothing else to do now. Because if we don't make that decision, our mind, when it starts sankalpa, vikalpa, accepting, rejecting so many things, we will fall into accepting that this, whatever my mind tells me, is what this is what I have to do right now. But now we have to make the determination, the sankalpa, the decision, that I have nothing else to do right now. Does anyone else have something else to do now if we're going to chant japa for a few minutes? Do you have something else to do? Well, if you do, go and do it, because we're going to chant japa. So make that determination. So I would just like to explain a few simple principles that I pray will help you in your japa chanting. And that, how many principles did I just name? Just now? You listened very, huh? What was one? What was one? Well, raise your hands, please, because we're all teachers here. And we'll make those who don't raise their hands, there's so many corners. Okay, name one principle, Mataji. Okay, we chant as best we can. Another principle, thank you very much. Another principle.
I have nothing to do else.
I have nothing else to do. Nothing else to do. And third is be determined. You have to make a determination on this point, a sankalpa. Very good, thank you. And then a next simple principle, and we'll explain two more, but this is the first of the two more. If we've already explained three, and we're going to explain two more, how many will we explain in total?
Five.
You all go to the corners. And I was asking one Prabhu over here. And I bet you all did that without taking out your mobile phones. That's very good. 3 + 2 is?
Five.
Right. Do you remember the first three principles? Would you be able to repeat them? Would you remember one of them? Would you?
I have nothing else to do.
Okay, do you remember one? The same one that he? When we're chanting japa, do you have other things to do that you should be doing?
No.
No, very good. Two very good students. I taught Gurukula for quite a few years sometimes. And when I see such nice young children, I become very happy, nice devotees. So, the fourth principle that I would like to say is when we try to chant, and if you'd like to say something on this point, you can, but just keep the, I could give it a long explanation, but I'll explain it in brief. Keep your goal very simple. Not to listen to all the mantras you chant, not to listen to one whole round's worth, but just if you can hear one mantra, if you can actually connect with Krishna's names of Binatam Namanamano by the hearing process, if you can actually just hear one mantra, you are so fortunate. That's the fourth principle. And the fifth is, if you can, you can remember Srila Prabhupada's first translation of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or the essence of it, is that O Krishna, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Hare, O Srimati Radharani, please accept me as your servant. Expanding that meaning is that I've tried to be a master, an enjoyer, for so many days, for so many years, and for so many lives. And two things I have noted. First, I'm not satisfied. And I'm not happy by my attempt. And this is something that perhaps the children and the youth and cannot understand as clearly and deeply as those who are older in years, is that actually speaking, we try and we try and try to manipulate the material energy to make us happy, to enjoy, but we cannot. The anticipation of the pleasure is great, but the actual pleasure is flickering like water on a lotus leaf, said the poet Govinda Das. So Krishna, my dear Srimati Radharani, I've tried for so many days and months and years and even lives to enjoy, but now I want to serve you. Please accept me as your servant. So that's number five. So by our free will, by my willpower, I can't just decide if my consciousness isn't right. I can't just decide now I sincerely want to only serve Krishna and all my material desires are now finished. But if we can chant on that level, not chant on that level meaning two things going on when we chant, but infuse. What's the word for infuse in Hindi? I used to know it. Infuse, that's like you take sugar and water and put them together, and it's not that you have two things, sugar and water, but it becomes sugary water. What is the word in Hindi? Yes, I've heard, yeah. Okay. But it's, infuse is the word I like. Infuse. Okay, but you get the idea. That you don't have two things anymore, so it's not that I'm chanting and thinking, but the chanting should be mixed with the mood of calling to Krishna. But if I can't do that mechanically, but if that mood comes to me, then I should chant with that mood. But below that mood, something that we can all do just by desiring to do it, willing to do it, is try to hear one mantra. We can make the attempt, as Mataji said, we can try our best to hear one mantra. And if we can actually associate with the Maha Mantra with our consciousness, by hearing, we are so fortunate because we're associating with Krishna. It's possible, like Kamsa was right in front of Krishna, but his consciousness was so different that he saw Krishna's death personified. So the devotee, at least we should try to hear, and we should be determined to do that. Okay, I won't speak anymore now. Raise your hand if you have Japamala with you. Okay. And if you don't have Japamala, it's okay. But just try to sit comfortably, and first, and this is Ekadasi, so I feel very fortunate that I'll be able to have some concentrated chanting right now. Will you try also? Will you try your best? What's your name?
Last night.
Last night. And you are? What's your name?
Palal.
And where is... There was a little girl sitting there before. What's your name? Priyanka. Very nice. Will you sit with your mother? Okay. Will you try to chant also, Priyanka? Thank you. Will you try to chant, please? And Prahlad? Thank you. Now, first we make a sankalpa. And the sankalpa is, I'm going to try to chant the best I can, and I have nothing else to do now, and let me at least try to hear. And then we should pray for some mercy from our Guru Maharaj, from the Vaishnavas, from Srila Prabhupada, from Sri Panchatattva, and ask for some special help. And also we can think of our favorite deity. Raise your hand if you have one deity that is most favorite to you and most dear to you. What's the deity that's most dear to you? Uga Nisringadev. Yes. Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna. You're well? Deity.
Jagannath.
Wow, yes.
Radha Ramanji.
Oh, wonderful. Who else? Oh.
Radha
Gopinath. Wow, Radha Gopinath. Yes. Oh. Okay. Keep the form of your lords in your mind. Can you do that? And then also, take shelter. As I said, try to be as sincere as you practically can. And accept that I have nothing else to do now. And as we're chanting, I'll speak a little bit into the microphone every now and then. But don't stop chanting to listen, but just let my words reinforce your chanting. Just try to. And if you can hear one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, especially on this holy day, Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. By Madhavatiti, he meant the Ekadasi, specifically the day that is very dear to Lord Madhava. And Bhakti Janami means that Bhakti takes birth on this day very easily. You have nothing else to do. Okay. I mean, because the way that the mind is that if you don't actually accept this, at least I see with myself, my mind will find something else to do. What will it find to do? Anything. And the nature of the mind is it will take something insignificant, and for a few moments it will seem like the only important thing in existence. And then, later on, having been tricked by the mind, I'll see that it actually, in fact, was not even important at all to do it right now. So while we're chanting japa, that's, nothing will happen without this sankalpa, this determined effort. So is everyone ready?
Yes.
Okay. So please take shelter of Guru, Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada, Pancha Tattva, your favorite deity, and then just begin to chant and try to hear the Hare Krishna mantra. If you can hear one mantra, you're so fortunate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You can chant it whatever speed you want. Rama, loudly, softly, but not too loudly, because there are so many devotees. Krishna, Hare, Hare, Rama, 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 Rama. Very nice chanting. Very good. Hare, Hare, Hare. Nothing else to do now except, nothing else to do now except just chant. And if you can hear one Hare Krishna Ma mantra, you're so fortunate. Rama, Rama, Rama. This Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just try your best. Just try to associate with Krishna through the sound vibration by hearing. Good. If you could hear one mantra, one Hare Krishna mantra, you're so fortunate. Try your best, but be determined. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. Keep your goal very simple. One mantra, if you could hear one Hare Krishna mantra, you're so fortunate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Try your best. Be determined. If your mind wanders, never mind. Just bring it back to the simple goal of associating with Krishna in the form of His holy name by hearing. Just try your best. Try to be with Krishna in this, the form of His holy name. If you can do that, you can be with Him at any time or at any place. the doors of this temple never close. Itadrasi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi tadaiva midrisameha nanujanuraga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You can ask or even beg Krishna to help you infusing that mood in your chanting. But be determined. You have nothing else to do now. Just try your best. Hare Krishna. And if you can hear one mantra, you're so fortunate. Try to hear, or if you can infuse your chanting with a begging Krishna to be able to associate with him, that's wonderful. Or with a mood of serving him, please accept me as your servant. Let's try to hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You have nothing else to do now. Be very determined about that. This is such an opportunity to associate with Krishna in the form of His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just try your best. You can hear one Hare Krishna mantra, you're so fortunate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. If you can chant with a begging mood from Krishna, a humble mood, allow me to serve you, allow me to associate with you in the form of your holy name, so fortunate. Just try your best. And if your mind wanders, never mind. Just try your best. You can hear one mantra. If you hear one mantra, you're so fortunate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare
You have nothing else to do now. Be very determined on that one point and then try your best to be with Krishna in the form of his holy names with your consciousness. The process is hearing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Try your best. Be determined on this one point that now I will try my best. For this short time we are together, this is such a rare thing to sit together on an Ekadasi with nothing else to do. We are so fortunate except to be all together with Krishna. Let's try your best. If your mind wanders, just bring it back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. To the simple goal of trying to be with Krishna in the form of his holy name. If you can hear one mantra, you are very fortunate. Try your best. The attempt itself is glorious. We may be successful, we may not, but the attempt is glorious to trying to be with Krishna in the mood of service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Very nice chanting. Both of you, very nice chanting. Thank you. Keep it very simple, your goal. Just try to hear the sound vibration and be with Krishna in that way. If you find yourself calling out to Krishna, for his mercy and service, you are very fortunate. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please accept me as your servant. I want to serve you. Thank you for your sincerely trying your best. Okay. Why don't we just stop for a moment? Let's stop for a few moments. And I would like to thank you for your... because it's difficult late at night also. And everyone tends to be a bit tired at night, but still trying so hard. Trying your best, rather. I want to say something about Krishna, the person, but I'm not sure what I should say. I'm not sure what pastime. What time is it now?
20 minutes
to 8. Yes, the same. We shouldn't argue about these things, though. If you would chant or think of your favorite deity, the deity that is your who you really who gives you the most shelter, and you should pray to that deity right now. And with the Hare Krishna mantra, and you can bring offerings. But while you're doing that, I'm going to think what pastime I would like to tell you about Krishna. But you do that while I think. Well, I'll consult. But you do that. You think of your deity, and you chant to your deity, and pray to your deity, the deity where you find the most shelter. Will you do that? How old are you? 12. But very big. Powerful. What is your name?
Uddhav.
Who was Uddhav?
Vishnu's friend.
From where?
Vrindavan.
Do you know where he was? First, where was he? Yeah. First he was in Mathura. And then when Krishna moved all the residents of Mathura to Dwarka, Uddhava, of course, came with him. Do you know what Uddhava means?
If someone asked me, I just said, he was Krishna's friend.
Yeah, but do you know what the special meaning of Uddhava is? It means that he who is a festival and increases everyone's happiness is being with that person. Because Uddhav was sent by Krishna to Vrindavan. Does anyone know what chapter of the 10th canto this took place in? What Krishna sent? Does anyone know? Good try. But not exactly the right answer. I'll give you a hint. You ready for the hint? It is the chapter, two chapters after the killing of Kamsa. And the killing of Kamsa was the chapter after the 43rd chapter.
46.
Yeah. You will go into IT. Perhaps. Because, see, right after the Kamsa was killed, which was the one of the most amazing pastimes, because so much of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is connected to Kamsa, because when Srila Vasudev took Krishna across the Jamuna, Vasudev Krishna across the Jamuna, it was to avoid Kamsa killing the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev. In the Bhagavatam, Srila Jiva Goswami, he translates the Janmadyasyata Anvyotaras Chiteshu Abhigya Sarat, is that Krishna is a Abhigya and Sarat. He knows everything, and he is completely independent. So immediately after his birth, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, because there the Brijbasis, The great Brijbasi devotees, they were waiting for him to perform his childhood pastimes. But then, months after Krishna's birth and being in Vrindavan, immediately Putana was sent by Kamsa to kill all the children. Kamsa was such a demon to protect himself from death, which is inevitable. He was willing to do such evil things as kill every child, innocent. He was willing to kill his own sister. But one can't stop one's passing away, one's death. But yet, he was willing to kill so many just to stop something that's not stoppable. This is the demonic nature. And Kamsa was a demon. And the fact that Kamsa was demonic, It proved itself that when, again, as we said before, that when he was face to face with Krishna, who the residents of Vrindavan saw in such a loving way, and the Mathuravasi saw in such a loving way, Kamsa and the wrestlers saw in such a, as if he was the most dangerous. Kamsa again saw him as death personified. The wrestlers saw, they perceived Krishna as a thunderbolt. Because a thunderbolt has the capacity to break anything, Vajra. So he sent Putana. He sent, who was the next asura that Kamsa sent? Who was the next one who attacked? Shakatashura. Who he noticed, Shakatashura noticed that the form of Putana came in a beautiful form, even though she herself had a horrendous, terrible form. She came in a beautiful form and she was killed. So Shakatashura thought that I will come in a formless way, and that way I will kill Krishna. I will be able to approach him. And then he entered into the cart, and then he is known as Shakatashura. But little Krishna, they had a festival when Krishna turned over for the first time. The unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord turned over for the first time, and they held a festival. And that Shakatashura entered the cart, because Mother Yashoda had placed Krishna under a cart to protect him from the sun while the festival was going on, and she was greeting all the guests and taking care of everyone. And that Shakatashura entered the cart, and it came down, the weight of this demons entering the cart came down. And then Krishna, who was turned over, he just kicked. Now how much power does a little 3-month-year-old baby, 3 months is that thing? Have with its kicking, with its soft, tender body of 3-year-old. So Krishna, in his Naralila, had an all-powerful form, but it was in the form of just this little, most beautiful, attractive, Swedish, sweet baby who had charmed everyone in Braja, and no one in Braja could think or talk about anything but Krishna, and his lotus eyes and his curling hair. And with those tender feet, he kicked that cart, and immediately everything was scattered everywhere. And because there were so many brass cooking utensils hooked on that cart, it made such a sound, and everyone came running because they were fearful of something happening to Krishna. And this is the difference between a conditioned soul and someone who is qualified to be in Vrindavan, is that when something, we hear a great sound and we and the pots are all full, and we think, oh, maybe one of my pots is bent, or maybe it's going to land on my car, or something like that. And it's the very nature of false ego is that everything is centered around me, and therefore there must be dissension in this world. There must be dissension, because false ego, what does dissension mean? Hindi word for dissension. Disagreement, another word. Quarrel, fighting, quarreling. There must be this, because false ego forces us to think of ourselves as the center. And what Krishna, which means basically that we have our back turned to Krishna. And what Prabhupada always told us is that Krishna should be the center. That Krishna should be the object of love is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to spread that message. And one time, I mentioned this when we were in Kenya, I was remembering that when I was in Hong Kong, when we were in Hong Kong, there was one devotee who came to visit a sannyasi. And he had come from India, serving in India, and Prabhupada had actually sent him to China to preach. But you couldn't get into China at that time at all, so he decided to go to the Philippines to preach. He was a sannyasi, very strong type of person. And he was going to go alone. And I thought, he shouldn't go alone. And at that time I had the amazing good fortune of going to Japan, from Hong Kong to Japan by Srila Prabhupada. So I had asked Srila Prabhupada if anyone from here, from Japan or in his party, could go along with this sannyasi, because I didn't think it was a good idea that he just go by himself. So I suggested one devotee, one of Prabhupada's servants, and who had taken sannyas, and Prabhupada knew that he wasn't very strong. So then as we were walking one day, and it was raining, and I remember the scene very clearly, because in Japan there was these wooden houses, and this was many years ago, and it was raining, and the rain was coming, falling off the roof of the house, and we were walking underneath the veranda. And Prabhupada said, how about another sannyasi going? He mentioned the name of someone. And I knew that devotee very well. And I knew that devotee very well. And this one was very, very strong. And that one was very, very strong. And I thought, that isn't going to work. But Prabhupada had just suggested it. He was asking me what I thought. So I said, no, I don't think it's a good idea. He asked me. So he said, why? And I thought, how am I going to politely say this to Prabhupada? So I said, Prabhupada, I think they will have a difficult time deciding who is going to surrender to who. Is that tactful? And Prabhupada, I was walking behind Prabhupada, and he stopped and turned, and he said, it doesn't make a difference who surrenders to who. And then he turned around and kept walking. Now, think about that. Because with my false ego and my mind, I'm thinking, I really know. And he, doesn't agree with me sometimes. I mean, not you. I'm talking about it with false ego. I'm thinking I know everything and this person doesn't know, and on, everyone should do things my way, etc., etc. And the reality is, if I do it this way, it's maybe this way is a little bit better than that way, but generally speaking, it's just one person's view and another person's view. But false ego causes quarrels. In Kali Yuga, there's quarrels over everything. Everything. People are willing... In the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes that over a coin, family members, brothers, are willing to fight and become mortal enemies. Mortal means practically... They'll kill each other practically. If not indeed, they won't talk to each other, they'll talk badly about it. This is Kali Yuga. This is the kingdom of false ego, where everyone is convinced they're the center, although no one is satisfied with that imaginary concept that I'm the center. So, that's what Prabhupada said. And consider that when you're, next time you're having a big, important disagreement with one devotee or another devotee. Is it really worth it? Because words, ill-spoken words, really pierce the heart. And one doesn't forget them. This is the message of Bhagavatam also. Makes this point, I can't remember where now, but it, words are like arrows that pierce the heart, and they, the wound of sharp words. I've had children, not children anymore, but when I taught, and then the children grew up, and that's something when you're a young teacher, you don't know that they're going to grow up. You don't actually know that very deeply, and then I've had children, ex-children, 20 years later, tell me, do you remember when this happened and you said this to me and this to me and this to me? And no, actually, I can't remember saying that to you, but they remembered. We should be very careful with the words that we use with each other because they're in there for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years sometimes, and piercing wounds in the heart, and we keep them. So I was telling something about Krishna, wasn't I? Do you remember what I was something of, there was the cart.
Yeah,
there was a cart, and Krishna's lotus feet kicked the cart. Oh, yes, now I remember. Thank you. By your mercy. That the resonance of Vrindavan are completely different than conditioned souls, because when they hear a sound or anything disturbing or anything good, they have one thought, and that is of Krishna, because they have no false ego. They are living in their life as servant of Krishna. And that is the qualification for being in Vrindavan. One has to be in love with Krishna. And one's consciousness has to be fully focused on Him. And therefore, when we chant, even though it's sometimes difficult to focus on Krishna, sometimes it's too hot, sometimes there are noises coming from the sky and the walls, and it's hard to focus on Krishna. But this is your house, too? No. Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you. That's a nice house. The decorations in your house are especially nice. All the devotees. So in Vrindavan, this is the special characteristics of Braja, that everyone is in agreement on this one point, that Krishna is everything for us. So when we're chanting our japa, we don't imitate the resonance in Vrindavan, but we make the attempt to turn from being a conditioned soul to Krishna. And that, according to Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, is the very purpose of sadhana bhakti. The going from bahyamukh to samukh, from facing, having our back turned to Krishna. I'd like to show you, because we all, I'll show you something. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do even, is I'm going to turn my back on you. And tell me how it feels. And you know I'm just doing a teacher's experiment over here, but oh, just to make it even more graphic, I'm going to... How did that feel?
Very nice.
How did that feel? Insulting, even? Huh? How did you feel? Did I insult you, Prabhu? I'm so sorry. I was only playing. Just to make a point. And the point was, we see things always from our point of view, but with our back turned to Krishna, that's how he feels. And that's actually what aparad, in a simple way, means. It means insulting. So when we chant our japa, the attempt is to turn towards Krishna. And even though we may do it imperfectly, if we're trying our best to sincerely turn to Krishna, Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana. What does that mean? Bhava Grahi, it's a name of Krishna. What does it mean?
He accepts the feelings and emotions more than...
The essential point that you're trying, he accepts that. That's what he sees. So now we'll chant again for a few minutes. And just try your best. And think that Krishna is so powerful. With his soft lotus feet, he kicks the cart. And he's very kind. There's one commentary I read of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, that if someone is passing away from this world, dying, and he thinks about Krishna, then he will bring him home. And then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, that's the verse, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the verse. He asked the question, well, why would he do that? You're just thinking about him one time. Why would he bring you home to his own abode, Pramgatim, and also Atma Bhavana? He will even bestow upon you your spiritual form. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asked the question, why would he do that? For so little, give so much. And he said, what is the difficulty for Krishna? He is so magnanimous by nature. Magnanimous means?
Udar,
yes, exactly. Generous. He wants to give. He wants to give himself to us. Do you actually believe that? I mean, not to answer to me, to answer to yourself. And while you're chanting, you'll see how much you believe it. So please make the attempt to turn towards Krishna when we chant right now. Just by, you can chant on the level of hearing, the mantra. If you can do that, wonderful. And if you can chant on the level of Krishna, please help me infusing it, wonderful. And if you can chant on the level of Krishna, accept me as your servant, I need to serve you now, that's wonderful. And if you can chant on the level of pure love, then do that. Okay, take a shelter. Is it too much for you? Is it too late at night? Will you be able to try your best now? You too? You too? You three? Okay. We'll just chant for a few more minutes and then. Just try your best. But you have nothing else to do now. This is such a special time. Our japa time is such a special time. Because it's the time allotted for us to be alone with Krishna. So try your best. And if you can hear one mantra even, you're so fortunate. Just try your best. We'll only have not a long time, but try your best during this few minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You have nothing else to do. Start with that. For these few minutes, nothing else to do. Hear one Hare Krishna mantra, you're so fortunate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, another few minutes. Try to hear the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So, Vina Twam Nama Namano.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Thank you for trying sincerely. Just another 2 or 3 minutes. Try your best. This is a special time on Ekadasi to have nothing else to do except be with Krishna in the form of His holy name. Try your best. If your chanting could have some calling to Krishna, some begging for service, so wonderful. Nothing else to do. Make the determination to try your best. Try your best. Just try your best. Take advantage of this time that we have together. Srimati Radharani, just try your best. If you can hear one mantra, you are very fortunate. Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? We have a few questions. Or any comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Prabhu, there are two. One is when you chant on your beads, and also when you hear kirtan. So, is there a difference? Because I personally, if I hear, some really good kirtan, in the sense, sung by Indradyumna Swami or someone who's very senior, when I hear absolutely doing nothing, that engages my mind much more than on my beads. So how do I take this, Prabhuji?
Thank you. I think that is very fortunate that the sankirtan, of the kirtan, the loud chanting, congregational chanting, engages your mind and attracts your heart. That is why it's the yuga dharma, because it's so much easier to become absorbed, because the point is the absorption. So it's so captivating. But yet, every day, we sit down in our own homes very often, or in the temple, And there we are with the beads in our hand, and we vow to do this. So the question is, what do we do during that time? And how we, and why has that been prescribed for everyone? A minimum of 16 rounds a day. But why? It's because the holy name is Krishna. So the point being is that if we can somehow or another take advantage of what we're already doing and use that time and understand the incredible value that this is, it is almost like an invitation from Krishna. This is a time when that you can be with me. Let's try your best. So that is what we should do. We should try our best. And that's what why we've been prescribed to do this. So the fact that the kirtan is, it makes it easier, means that we should chant kirtan a lot, because, and the melodies stay in our mind, and we chant when we're walking here and there. So that's so wonderful. But while we're chanting japa, we should make our attempt at that time to be with Krishna.
During japa, I get more distracted. But during kirtan, I'm not so distracted as compared to japa.
So what should you do? Mahaprabhu speaks about this. Unfortunate as I am, Krishna is there, but I am so unfortunate that I'm attracted to so many things. So what is the next verse after that verse? What's the next verse? After Dudaiva Midrisamihan Anujanuraga, everyone. Trinara Pis. So that's. So we should feel very humbled by. Humbled. Why does one feel humble? What causes. Sometimes we feel humble, but what causes a humble feeling? Or unfortunate. So that's exactly the point. And then from the seed of that misfortune of not having an attraction to Krishna, being conscious of it, comes the fortune of humility, the blessing of humility. And from that blessing of humility grows prema, bhakti. Actual bhakti. Good question, thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you to Guru Maharaj and Pujan Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas giving us opportunity to get the same mood which we had in a retreat here in Bombay. I really feel that there's no difference staying in Govardhan, having the spirit, and also here. Thank you.
That's because Giriraj is here.
I think more than Giriraj Maharaj, the audience are more reflected in mood of Maharaj, the audience. So it goes reciprocated. So audience are more connected to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj is more connected to the audience. So it is more reciprocated and mood is become more intensified.
Thank you.
My question is, Prabhuji, you were saying we have to concentrate on the chanting of the holy names.
I said that we should try our best.
Like simultaneously sometimes we quote some slokas connected to the chanting. Does it mean it is deviating us from...
There are many things we can do that have been prescribed. One is you are holding up a sign of the syllables, and sometimes we like to look at a photograph of the deities, or we can actually be in front of the deities. So whether something is working or not, slokas or remembering or prayers, it will reflect back in our chanting and it will increase our concentration in the chanting. That's why I say it shouldn't be two things. It should be one thing. Just like when say, Prahlad, do you sometimes, where is your mother? Where is your mother? I will ask. Where is Prahlad's mother? Hare Krishna. Two. Priyanka and Prahlad. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So sometimes you're worried about Prahlad. Say. Our mothers are always worried about their children. Okay. But sometimes you see him doing something and then, or he's away and he comes back and you say, and you, oh, I'm so happy you're back. But you don't say that. You say, Prahlad. So there's the name of Prahlad, and then you're feeling, I'm so happy that you came back. And it's not one distracts you from the other. Rather, the feeling makes the intensity of the calling for him, Prahlad, Prahlad, I'm so happy. makes your calling for him more absorbed. You're more absorbed in it. So the prayers, the test whether these things are helping you or not helping you, because I've put pictures in front of me and I use them as this, my mind will catch onto them and distract me from the hearing. But if they're used properly, they're glorious things. But the test of whether it's being used properly or not is whether if it helps you and absorbs you, not creates a division in your mind between here are the mantras I'm chanting and here are the mood I'm chanting. So therefore, I try to, personally, when I try to emphasize the hearing, because that will just increase the absorption if you add these other elements in a proper way. But if, because there's a tendency to think, the hearing is the lowest, and prema bhakti is the highest, or I should chant with, I should do the highest, I shouldn't. Because here I am, I'm me. So of course I should do the highest. But we should chant on whatever level that we're able to be most absorbed in. And naturally, just as you pointed out, if your mind wanders, then that should give birth to humility, and that humility should give birth to a taking shelter. Humility doesn't mean, oh, I'm so bad, I'm such a bad devotee, and I'm and all continuously thinking about how bad you are. That's not humility at all. That's neurotic behavior, to use a technical term. But when humility means that I'm Krishna's servant, I'm so fallen, please Krishna. Humility means taking shelter of Krishna. So we try our best to hear, to chant in an absorbed way. Our mind wanders and we think, oh, I need so much help, Krishna. No attraction. Oh, Krishna, please help me. Krishna. But not two things, but one. The mood. So, did I answer your question too? Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Normally, we have seen the chanting is very effective in the morning hours.
Yes.
That's the best time to chant.
Yes.
But sometimes with our routines or schedules, we are not able to manage that.
Yes.
And when we chant the other time of the day, it's so
more difficult.
Yeah. So how do we try to concentrate even in the wrong times? I mean, actually.
Well, this was a wrong time. By that definition. So we tried our best. Chanting is best done in the early morning, before, in the Brahma Muhurta hours, but sometimes that's not so practical. Sometimes we're very tired at that time. So whenever we chant, this principle of trying to hear these simple... How many principles did I mention? Do you remember the number? Very good. I mean, of course there are many more, and this is just one way to speak about it, but just try your best and be happy with your whatever successes you are, you get about hearing. And any time you're not feeling successful, see if you can turn it into humility and take shelter more. And if you
And if you're not able to chant it all very well, at least keep chanting. And if you're not able to, don't worry, don't feel discouraged if you can't do it very well. But if you could hear one mantra, you're so fortunate. Just what we were saying. That would be my suggestion. Other devotees may have even better suggestions. And that's something good to speak about to your mitra. That because you're not the only one who has that difficult schedule. Most of the devotees share that one responsibility or another. So this is this guhyamakyati pricchati. This is something so nice to talk about with the devotees. You know, how can I improve my japa? How can I tend to be tired in the morning? I have to chant later in the afternoon or in the evening. Is there anything, do you have anything, suggestions, your experience? This is a nice thing to talk about. Is that all right? Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for a wonderful instructions on chanting. I have a question related to the same thing, but in a very different manner. In the sense that when you're chanting, I mean, like Prabhuji just said that in the morning times when you can't chant, but in the morning times when you have your seva, and it's every day, it's on a day-to-day basis, and daily basis you're doing the service, and you can't chant during the hours. So that means you're practically the Brahma Muhurat period, you're not chanting at all. You're doing the service that you are engaged in. So the question of chanting, not chanting in the Brahma Muhurat of chanting in the Brahma Muhurat doesn't arise. You can't do that. So on everyday basis, you're chanting around later on, and then you're tired in the morning, and then you have your other things that you have to do on a day-to-day basis. So how do you take that? I mean, it's very disturbing sometimes.
Is this your situation?
Yeah, it's my situation.
Oh, the first thing is, don't think you're unfortunate. If you have the service of dressing the deities every single day, Krishna, what deities do you dress?
Lord Jagannath Baldev in Subhadra Mata.
Every day,
yes.
They are the Lord of the universe, and they have asked you to dress them. So that the first principle is just say, I'm sorry.
By the mercy of Guru Maharaj and the blessings of Guru Maharaj.
By the blessings of Giriraj. Yes. So the first thing is, don't take it as a problem and getting in the way of your advancement. First thing, first of all, especially because it's your Guru Maharaj's order. There's such a blessing attached to that. Because the first thing, your consciousness is filled with Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Devi.
It's very enjoyable and very satisfying. I'm not saying the other way. but there's always this confusion in my mind. That
I know. I'll get to that point. But the first thing I wanted to say is, don't become confused on this particular point. Because the mind is very, at least my mind is tricky. It might start doing that sometime. Why is he given? Prabhupada even spoke about that sometimes. What is it? Galagra. Yeah. Do you remember? Yeah, burden. Why is he giving me this burden? You know, the mind can do these things. And then bhakti flies very far away, very quickly. So, but then the second principle is that whatever time you allot for chanting, you have whatever time you give, this is the time I'm going to chant my japa, then you have to be ready to apply some principles and restrictions during that time. These principles. The same, and then it moves back into the same point. You know, what should I do? And then you can ask the next question is, what should I do when I can't do what I should do? And then, but we already answered that question too, is we have to become humble. And only by Krishna's grace, when we can't do what we should do, only by Krishna's grace we can do what we should do, what we can't do, what we should do.
See? I told you you'd be confused. And then we'll clear it up. Yeah, so we become humble. Okay, Krishna, look at me. Narottama Das Thakur prays like this. That you please make your name Narottama Pavani. Please become famous as the deliverer of Narottama. And Narottama was so exalted. So such humility in these exalted souls. And such pride in these Kali Yuga rascals. Such pride and envy. So embarrassing.
How much time do you have available to chant later in the day?
Although I can give 2 to 3 hours, Guru Maharaj. That's there, but then, you know, you're so tired also.
And do you have a choice of those 2 to 3 hours when they come, or they're all at a certain time of day?
I have a choice. In the sense that I can devote 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, yes.
Pretty much any time during the day?
Not any time during the day, but at a fixed time during the day.
But can you choose the time that you fix? In other words, like, do you have to work at a certain time, or you just have to do a certain amount of work during the day? And you can fit in your work when you want and your japa when you want.
I can do that.
So that's very good. That's very good. I mean, different devotees have different experiences. I know many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who would be serving him personally from early in the morning until he took his nap in the afternoon. And they said that that's afternoon time was like a very good time to chant. They had the same situation, but not just dressing for 2 hours, but from like, you know, 4 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And I've also heard that later in the morning, like leading up to lunchtime, is another good time to chant. And depending on the situation, you know, if you take a quick shower and freshen up, that like washes away a lot of the stuff, and that refreshes your mind. And it's definitely possible. It's definitely possible. And I've also heard devotees say that a lot depends on, same thing that Bhurijan Prabhu's been saying, a lot depends on your determination. If you, from the beginning, if you think, you know, it's too late, I'm never going to be able to chant good rounds, then, you know, because yayata mam prapadyante, as you surrender to the holy name reciprocates. But whatever, you know, whenever you surrender, like, what if the time of death comes? You can't choose when it's going to come, but when it comes, you have to surrender, you have to take shelter, whatever time it is. So whatever time it is, just surrender, take shelter with intensity, and the holy name will reciprocate.
Guru Maharaj, it may be a little personal. Sorry. We'd like to know your schedule for chanting so that we can get some glimpse. If we are little qualified to follow your footsteps so that we can.
Well, I'll tell you my schedule in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan I had a schedule. As far as Mumbai goes, I'm still working on it. But I had a schedule. I would get up. Before it got too cold, or you know, when I wasn't sick, I would go to the temple at Mangalarti time, and then you know, say by 5:15 or 5:20, I would go to Srila Prabhupada's room and chant, and that was really good. That was really good. In fact, when Burijan Prabhu was saying, you know, think of a deity, I mean, I thought of different deities, but then at a certain stage I thought of chanting to Srila Prabhupada in his room in Vrindavan, which was very powerful. And so I would do that until 8. And then I would, you know, have a little prasad, do some service. But then I would chant again for 2 hours, hour and a half, leading up to lunch. And I also felt that chanting with devotees helped me in two ways.
A daughter calling from New York.
You can take it to go to the other room. Sorry. You had to push that little thing up.
It's a good ringtone, yeah?
Sorry.
No, that's fine. So, yeah, Vrindavan mood. Yeah, so I would chant, say, maybe from 11:30 to 1:30. And I would invite devotees to chant with me, usually. And that way I'd have their association in chanting. They'd have my association. It was nice. And so I'd have those two stretches. And I might chant again in the evening, but those are my two main stretches. And I mentioned it to one of my sannyasi godbrothers who was in Vrindavan. And he said that he had also sort of hit upon the same type of schedule, where he would chant one set in earlier in the morning, and then chant another set before lunch, you know, in the later morning leading up to lunch. So, yeah.
How nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice, yeah. Maharaj told me many times in Vrindavan how much he really liked the chant of Prabhupada's room.
Yeah, it's, and, you know, the more help we can get, the better. So, everything was so nice in Prabhupada's room, but they didn't have Tulsi Devi there. So then I asked, and then, yeah, so they started to keep Tulsi Devi there, and then it was like perfect and complete.
We are not stationary at one place. Sometimes we chant while traveling in public transport or car, or not while driving, but so.
What question?
So, the quality is not the best, but sometimes we don't have a choice to consider that as one of the 16 rounds.
So what's the question?
So is it okay?
You just said you didn't have a choice. In the corner. No, you understand my point?
Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj and Prabhuji and
Dear Maharaj, my Dhanvats, I just want to express a feeling, realization, and a comment, not a question. It was really very intense. I felt today when you were helping us to blot out everything else, try to concentrate. It was really very intense, and I felt I could actually chant nicely, which we don't do otherwise every day. Because that urgency which you created with your beautiful mood that you created for chanting, and that really helped. And all the other questions after that, it is my experience that I am saying that I feel that time actually is not important. Yes, Brahma Muhurat helps and everything, but if you can, it is the mind that troubles you. And if you can just think that, try to hear that mantra, try to hear the mantra the way you were urging us and saying this is the only thing we have to do right now. So that, and then Guru Maharaj said like he chooses those times, which means actually we should try to chant and hear. And then any time of the day can become successful in chanting. This is the realization I got from today's experience. I'm really thankful to you for that. It's wonderful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hare Krishna Prabhu, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. My question is that we are into three levels and three modes of nature, like tamogun, rajogun and satogun. Then we reach to Shuddha Sattva. And like you said today, that while chanting, we should be like doing that, this is it. Like I want to chant, that's it, nothing else. So there are three modes of chanting moods also, Nama Aparad, Nama Bhas and Shuddha Nam. So in that, like we are chanting, but we are sometimes compromising on our 16 rounds. So like my question is that, ki Namabhas will definitely give you a result of the being in Tamogun, slowly and gradually come in Rajogun while chanting, and then you go to Sattva Gun. So these are the three words which is helping in Namabhas also. So if we are we are not taking it granted that I won't be able to take Shuddha Nam. It won't be like I don't have confidence that much of confident being a neophyte or being a initial devotee. So like my question is that will Namabhas help us to go ahead in Shuddha Nam, or if we are not successful doing that, will that help us in future?
Which one?
Namabhas. Like in emergency we chant, you know, in Hafiz Ali.
The way I look at that is that there's aparad chanting on that level. So what we want to do is try our best to avoid nam aparad, because that it stops the fruit from coming. So of all the aparads, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says pramada. He defines that as inattentiveness. Basically, it means bewilderment. So, and the mind is so powerful that it in 1 second, I could say, now I have nothing else to do, and be completely convinced. And then 3 seconds later, my mind is doing something completely, and I'm completely absorbed in it. So, this is the nature of the rascal mind. So. And one, Mataji also said that there's only one problem. This is the conclusion of the 23rd chapter of the 11th canto of the Song of the Avanti Brahmana. There is only one cause of distress, and that's the mind. So what we want to do is deal with this particular aparad, and that is chant
chanting inattentively with a wild mind. And what I've seen from my own unfortunate experience is that if you have a long-standing bad habit, it's much more difficult to correct it. So I want to fall at all of your feet and beg you not to catch this habit of just accepting I'm supposed to be, I put my hand in my bead bag and I push the beads and then it's all right. I've chanted. And it doesn't make a difference what I'm doing consciously. So we don't want to do that because it's insulting to Krishna. So the point being that if we try to chant Namabhas in this way, the way the Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses it, means that you're chanting offenselessly, but not on the stage of Sudanam. So that is very good. Namabhasya hoite hai, sarva papa chai, means the resultant reactions of all sins are removed by one Namabhas chanting. What to speak of the result of chanting with prema bhakti, Sudanam. So yes, it's very good. We should try to avoid the 10 offenses while we chant, including inattentiveness, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is the mother of all offenses in the sense that it gives birth to the other offenses. Is that okay? Yes, it's
Thank
good.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Yes. We have time for one more question, if anyone has a burning question. Two very sincere devotees.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, and to my dandavats to all Vaishnavas present here. I see the sitting postures while chanting the Mahamantra. Somebody, you may also have observed, somebody is sitting like this, somebody is sitting like this, somebody is sitting like this, in different postures. I sit while I'm chanting, keeping my spine erect, because I know very well, personally this is my experience and observation, that if you chant Maha Mantra, keeping most of the time your spine erect, you sleep well, and you relax also while you are chanting. I need your comments or suggestion or advice. What should be the right posture when you are chanting while sitting? Walking is different, that is fine. Right? But even while walking, I have seen many devotees, even sometimes senior devotees, that they are not walking, keeping their spine erect. Right? So, what are your comments or advice on this matter? I would like to know. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. I know that there's a great benefit to sitting erect, because it actually helps, it can be a great aid in concentration, and that's the purpose of the sitting erect. While we're chanting japa, it is an assistant to being able to focus the mind. But the purpose of it is to focus the mind on the holy names of Krishna. So it can be an aid to do that. And if one has the capacity, one
and the ability, it can be a very helpful aid. I know there's quite a few devotees when they're helping others with japa, they make this as the first principle even, that sit erect. But again, it's an assistant to the an aid to focusing the consciousness on the ear and the hearing of the Maha Mantra. And while walking, I never think about sitting erect or standing erect while walking. I try to make sure I don't trip over anything, mostly. But again, it's the point of hearing is the essential thing. I saw when Srila Prabhupada would chant Gayatri Mantra, he would be very very careful, from my remembrance, about sitting in a way that would aid his focus. Is that all right, or would you want to? Yes, you do.
Thank you very much in giving your comments and advice. One more thing I observe wherever I go, that devotees, non-devotees, they chant, but no smile on the face. They make very stiff face, and they make too much of loud noise, shake the body up in all possible different ways. You can see, even in the morning, tomorrow in the temple room, and you can closely observe the mood, particularly the face impression. Right? Very stiff face, no smile, even after chanting the holy names. Right? I would like to have your comments. You know, I observed that after chanting the holy names, naturally the smile should be on the face. But there is no smile in many of the cases. I would like to know your comments. Thank you.
On this one, I have a really good comment. But I can only comment on how I think about these things. This isn't how others should think about it. But for myself, I never look at anyone's face while they're on chanting. I just try and hear one mantra. I honestly mean this. Because if I'm looking at everyone's face and seeing how unhappy they are, then I'll get so unhappy. But instead, if I can just hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then I don't generally smile a lot when I chant. But I just, I don't know how to say it, but I just try to hear one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and this is actually something that I've concluded about life, is that I ask three questions. The first question is, who am I? And my answer is a servant. I mean, especially on good days, that's my answer. I'm a servant. The second question is, well, if I'm a servant, who's my master? Well, I won't tell you, but I have a master. So I'm a servant, and I have a master. And then my third question is, well, what's my service? So if my service, as it was in this particular time, is to keep my consciousness on the devotees, then I'll do that. But if my service is just to hear
myself to hear the Hare Krishna mantras in this example, then I want the strength to be able to just do that, because I'm only a servant. So very much it depends on what one's service is. And so the particular point that I've learned in life is that I should keep my mind on my own service. I used to think that my service was to save the world. And I tried. I didn't do very well. But now I think my service is... Because that wasn't my service, actually. It was like someone really powerful like Srila Prabhupada, he really saw that as his service. Not only to save the world, but to save the universe. He told Jagatpreeti Mataji and I one time in the Philippines that it is my desire that every soul in the universe become Krishna conscious. Please help me with that desire. So he really had that as his desire and his service. And he preached like that. And he came up with so many strategies to unfold that desire. But I know that that's not my service. So what I try to do is keep my mind on what my service is. And And I try to keep my mind off of what my service isn't. So those are my comments.
You also had a question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much to the strong team that has created such wonderful magnanimity this evening on this most auspicious Ekadasi. I'd just like to know that we've been given this wonderful mercy by Lord Chaitanya and more wonderful mercy by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada with the backdoor key, and we have the road clear and simple back to Godhead. May I ask in contrast, why did the residents of Vrindavan have to undergo so much of austerities to perform their roles for Krishna?
What austerities are you referring to?
Like those Mother Yashoda and the rest, they were sages that engaged in extreme austerity to get their positions in Vrindavan?
Oh. They're different. They're different categories of residents of Vrindavan. But the I think what you're saying is that those who became sadhana siddhas to enter Krishna's service in Vrindavan, why did they have to undergo such severe austerities?
For something that we are getting very, very easily in the back door. Yes, is that?
Yes.
But I think you gave the answer, because we have the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enhanced by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.